How does it feel to have your parents arranging every aspect of your life and have them hovering above your head and constantly watching over you? Are you grateful or are you annoyed?
Well, it depends. Yeah, on the extent. To what extent does the parents... Is the parent always there? So always is a word that describes the frequency. And actually, the study we're looking at right now is not about they're doing everything in your life, their hands on every little trivial matter of your life. It's more like the question asks the question is about, have your parents ever stepped into a personal area in your life that you felt that they should not? So that's totally a different question.
Mm-hmm.
So, the study was conducted by the Social Investigation Center of China Youth Daily, and they asked the question, and they got the answer from 58% of 2014 respondents saying that they had once had the experience of having their personal business being taken care of by their parents to keep them focused on their study. So, it's more like, have you ever been rejected to wash your dishes because your parents want you to go and do your homework? And I think 58% is not even real. I think it should be a 100% case, because for most parents there, or for most parents I know, having said, all most of them have said to their kids, you don't have to do this, you can just go and study. And I don't think it's something that's too much, or parenting being too over your shoulder.
Well, that comment has two problems. For one thing, doing the dishes is not a private affair. I mean, that's not usually what kids are obligated to do. That's more like a family chore. And on the other hand, I don't think having the parents and discouraging kids from doing that part of the family chore is going to be a huge problem. So,
I also think that we need to discuss, like, when we're talking about parenting and children, like, how old are the children?
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, like, for me right now, obviously, like, if my parents were hovering all around me, I would be very, very uncomfortable. I would be very uncomfortable. But if a child is, say, like, maybe 10 years old or 5 years old, then it becomes a different case. I think, to me personally, it just depends how much is too... the degree of parenting, or the degree of a parent being too much or being overly protective, for example, will depend on the age of the child.
Mm. And actually, the survey, in terms of the age of the people who've been asked the question, 1.6% were born after 2000, 24% born after 1990s, 52% after 1980s, and 15% after 1970s, and around 6% after 1960s. So actually, these are all grown-up people.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have kids. Some of them are married without kids. Some of them are single without kids. So they are all grown-up people.
Mm-hmm.
But the question being asked was actually, have you ever felt that your parents are doing everything for you, taking care of everything for you, because they want you to focus on certain things? Or do you feel like these kind of parents account for a large percentage in your life, in the life that you can witness, you see around you?
Mm-hmm.
So for that question, around 80% of them feel like mm-hmm. most parents are like that, are doing everything, taking care of everything for their kids, so the kids can, I'm doing air quotations, focus on the study.
Yeah,
so the study of, sorry to interrupt you, but what I'm curious about, so this study only focused on, we're talking here about the Chinese demographics. We're not talking about just parents all over the world everywhere. We're talking about Chinese parents, right?
Yeah, it's a survey about Chinese parents.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been through this. I mean, suddenly I did dishes at home. I mean, because I ate very slowly. I was always the last one to finish, and it was sort of my job to do the dishes. But I had that impression that my parents were sort of constantly watching over my shoulders and making sure that I was not just doing anything that I shouldn't do. I mean, they're certainly very protective. I don't feel like I had to, for instance, go shopping. I don't have to, for instance, do the cooking or well, certainly I arranged my own backpack, but I suppose in some families, the parents are so hands-on to the point that they even arrange the backpacks for the kids, and not mention sometimes, there's also one exception about school bullying. I mean, when you have encountered school bullying in the school, and sometimes you do want the parents to look into the issue. So that was my experience. I certainly had to do the dishes, but I don't feel like I had to do a lot within the family.
Right.
Niu Hongling, what was your case?
Well, I was a very rebellious kid.
Oh, rebellious.
Actually, my parents were the kind of parents that want to be involved in my life, that wanted to take care of me. But my response was to put a lock on my room and saying that you guys can only enter if you knock the door. If you don't, I will just lock it.
Ooh.
So I was the kind of kid that has a lot of battle and fight and screaming contest with my parents.
And you were an only child.
I am an only child, yes. So I think for me, it's like all the parents, most of the parents, are being the parents for the first time, or at least they've had the experience of being a parent for the first time. So you can't ask them to know how to do that. Maybe some parents nowadays, they have the access to the internet, they have access to a lot of information, they can read a lot of...
Subscribe to a magazine and read all about it.
Yeah, and do things like that to learn how to be a parent. Mm-hmm. But for our parents, and for even older parents, say our grandparents, when they are being parent to our parent, I'm saying the word parent too often, when they're doing that, they don't really have a book to read about, or they don't have the access to find all the other experience about how to be a good parent. So I would like to cut them some slack, and I would like to think sometimes how to be a parent also has to do with how's the kid is like. If the kid was a me kind of kid who's, you know, screaming and quarreling, yeah, very rebellious, then maybe parents realize, or they had to step back a little bit.
Right.
But if the kid was a kid like, say, my cousin, she's a very sweet, very nice girl, and she never, ever, well, shout out that loud as I did to her parents. So when she entered college, her parents still did her backpack, arrange the suitcase and send her off.
Oh,
but
doing the backpack, that's the worst.
But anyway, she is still a very healthy, not very independent, but, you know, somehow independent young lady now. It has not affected her life that much.
What about you, Nila? Did your parents have a book to read about it?
Well, certainly, I really don't think so, because for once, my mom comes from she came from a family of 10 kids. So, and she wasn't actually, so she still has younger siblings, even though she had older siblings when she was growing up. And traditionally, in an African society, is that the older you are, if you have younger siblings, you have that core responsibility with your parents to take care of your younger ones. So in a way, you're also playing like a role of a parenting. So in the process, there are things you learn along the way. And the same thing happened to me, because I also came from a big family, 7 children, and I'm the eldest child. So I don't even really think that my parents, because I was at the time when I was the only child, I don't remember my parents being all over me all the time. I don't know why. Maybe because I had, you know, we did a lot of like school, and then after school you get home, your parents are preparing meals, your dad is working or doing his own thing, and so the only thing you have to do is sit there, read a book, or go outside and play with your cousins or your neighbor's kids. So it was completely different. And I think also it does matter a lot if you're an only child, and if you're not an only child, because when you are the only child, all the expectations and all the hopes for the parents are on you, one person. So it makes them, for them to make sure that you actually be successful or achieve what they imagine you to be in the future, they have to be in full control to feel comfortable. But if they have more than one kid, they will always be like, okay, if this one is not that clever, at least we still have, plan B and plan C.
That is a very, very, very sharp observation, actually. If you look at the survey more closely, like New Holing mentioned, that so those who took the survey are mostly people born after 1960s and, mm-hmm. and all the way to those born after 1990s. So those are presumably people who were sort of having babies under the one-child policy, and they most likely had only one child. And when you have only one child or two to care about, I mean, you have all the time in the world to sort of shower your love on them, and but
right.
however, when you have more kids, I mean, you can only afford to pay so much attention. And I suppose, well, that's maybe the situation is going to change now that we have more loosened policy about family planning. And also, I wonder whether this one-child family planning policy also has to do with how parents would perceive about the kids' education. Because mm-hmm. here, competition in terms of education is really cutthroat.
Yes, and like you said, since the competition is so fierce, I kind of doubt how loosened up can parents be. Because traditionally, we have already in the Chinese culture have the idea that you need to perform academically well mm-hmm. to actually be successful in some parents' eyes. And also nowadays, more and more parents started to feel the kind of even peer pressure that you need to give your kids the best education from their youngest age. I've just had a conversation with someone who is preparing to have a kid and talking about how to give the kid proper music to listen to when the kid is not a kid, meaning in her belly.
A fetus.
So that's how how anxious Chinese parents are nowadays. And I don't think a two-kid family would mean that the parents stop being control freak and stop micromanaging every little aspect. I think they might just do that for both of their kids. And like I said, the traditional value makes sure that a lot of parents are still under the impression that academic achievement is very important, and that is why for them, kids studying maybe not 24/7, but somewhere
hopefully not
somewhere around 27 is acceptable. So in order for them to do that, they would need to take care of all the other subject of the kid's life. And that is not totally harmful when the kid is still a kid, when the kid is still studying or at school. However, that trend would not stop. If you have that habit of controlling every aspect of your kid's life, then it will certainly highly likely to continue when they're 18, mm-hmm. when they get a family, when they need to choose a job, when they started to learn how to educate their kid. And that there, I think, is where the problem getting really serious.
Well, I think what you say is actually true, because I met a friend of mine, a Chinese lady, in Shanghai a few years ago, and so we were discussing about why she wasn't going back home for Chinese New Year, and she was like, well, I just, you know, I've lived with my parents until I went to college. They were all over me. Now I have a job. I live in a different city. I talk to them on camera, but physically I just don't feel like I need to be around them because they have been over-controlling in my life such that I feel like it's affected me in many ways. She felt that the fact that she didn't have many friends was because she was never given that chance of, you know, just being independent and, you know, going out there and exploring things by herself, making her own mistakes, because her parents were doing everything for her. And now, even though that was good, she became a very successful engineer. She works for a big multinational company. She's very successful the way her parents wanted her to be. She's making lots of money. But now she feels like that, you know, spending too much time, you know, trying to do what her parents wanted kind of has led to her now being very resentful towards them, because she's now terrible at other aspects of life. She doesn't know how to make friends. She doesn't know how to socialize. And this, she feels, it makes her feel depressed sometimes. And
can I raise my hands when after that comment? Because really, I think I've been being a victim of the overprotected parents. Because, well, I remember growing up, I don't think my parents have paid specific attention into sort of my social skills. And as a result, I have only a few number of friends that I've made so far over my life. And that so far has affected me a lot. And I'd like to point out that actually a lot of the parents here, at least in urban China, they have been the results or should I say the survivors of a fierce competition within the education system. They know how hard it takes to survive the competition, and as such, they want to make sure that their kids can survive the same competition. And which sort of also lead us to the question about how the education in this country is arranged. I mean, if you think about the lives of students here in this country, like for instance, over time, eventually they're going to have to face this important threshold in their life, and that is in the form of the college entrance examination. And that competition, that examination, as we know, is very, very competitive. And so it sort of motivates parents to sort of keep pushing on their kids to stay very, very focused on their education. However, I think this trend is also changing. I mean, nowadays we talk about how a lot more Chinese people are looking forward to sort of pursue overseas studies in a different country. And that has made it much easier for, at least it offers some kind of option. I mean, the parents have an option in saying, should I push my kids to go through and survive the college entrance examination, or should I just help them develop other skills and so they can survive and sort of get a spot in a university elsewhere in a different country?
Yes, I do think there is that option now, but the option is still only open to a minority of
parents.
Yeah,
the rich people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And some rich people also like to have both choices. So what they would actually do, some of them, what they actually do is to push their kid to the point when they actually enter senior school, and then to see if their scores, their academic scores are good enough to pass the college entrance examination. If not, then we go to plan B. So that is why, according to a 2015 survey conducted by Afanti, a very strange and interesting name, according to the survey, on average, Chinese primary school and middle school students spend 3 hours a day on their homework. So besides the 8 or 9 hour school time, they'll still need 3 hours to do their homework every day, which is 3 times in France, 4 times in Japan, and 6 times in South Korea. So it's not that the college entrance exam is the point where we get super competitive. Actually, the competition starts way early.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, I can't really totally blame parents there, even though we say that we want you to loosen up a little, to understand the overall, the comprehensive ability of your kid is what's most important, to tell you that when they grow up, they need to be able to be independent. Mm-hmm. And if they look back at their original family, look bad at their childhood, they might find the experience not very pleasant. They might blame you for being super control or competitive or control freak or super micromanaging. However, some parents might still argue, but I still need them to pass the college entrance exam. Mm-hmm. They can hate me later, but I really do need them to pass that.
There we go. We still can't skip that problem of college entrance examination. But I think Nila just mentioned some of the sort of weaknesses or some of the setbacks that children have to endure after growing up in a family with or controlling parents, one of them being not sufficiently sociable. What are the other problems that kids could possibly get? I mean, growing up in such a family, one thing I can think about is perhaps the ability to sort of gather information, to sort of find out more information about how they go about their lives. I mean, there is a sharp comparison between me and my wife. I mean, mm-hmm. she's very independent. She's left home in junior middle school, and at the age of, I would say, 11.
Wow.
And she went to a boarding school and in a different city from her parents, and she had to fend for herself on her own, I mean, totally on her own. So in comparison, she's very good at gathering information. For instance, when my mom was sick and we wanted to know more about where we should, which doctor, which hospital we should go to, and which doctor we should talk to, she was very efficient in finding all the information.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for me, I would simply panic.
Oh,
I think that's the thing about you know, having overly protective parents. Because I remember, like I said, I grew up in a large family. So attention was never on me. So I, from a very young age, I learned to be very, very independent, such that it got to a level where my parents could go travel for a few days and leave me in charge, taking care of everybody, making sure everybody gets up and goes to school and has breakfast, etc., etc. And I've grown up to be that responsible, such that before I get help from somebody, I know I have to explore all possible ways on my own before I can ask for assistance. So in that particular way, it's given me that confidence that whatever crisis, whatever challenge I might face, I will be able to deal with it. So I've realized that I've got very good crisis management skills in any situation I face. And that's thankfully because I didn't have anybody I would call and say, Mom or Dad, I need this, or I'm stuck here, because I always knew I had to figure out the stuff for myself. But then I have friends who are like the complete opposite, and you realize that every single thing, they panic. They panic, and then they call their parents. So, for example, I traveled once with a friend, and we had our flights cancelled. And what he did was call his mother, who's in a different country.
Aww.
While I was like, we need to figure out how to, you know, how to, if we can switch, get these people to put us on another flight to get back to Beijing. But no, call the parents. Because that kind of person is used to everything being done for them, because their parents, he grew up with a helicopter parents. Well, I grew up in more of a, like, you know, you're on your own kind of situation.
Yes, I totally agree. Actually, being able to deal with crisis, being able to cope with pressure, having a high EQ, knowing how to read the room, or even being more empathy, understanding what others are facing,
mm-hmm.
understanding that you're not the center of the universe, are all the kind of quality that people who are more independent, people with less controlling parents might
yeah.
have.
Mm.
But I also like to shout out to the adults out there. That is, even if we say things like that right now, you still need to choose one lifestyle. Don't complaining about your parents controlling everything in your life and then turn your head to them when you have a child to raise, when you have a house to buy, ask for help. Don't do that. Choose a principle and stick with it.
In the meantime, remember that one day there will be a day that you will grow old and you might rely on your kids to take care of you. So best make them prepared.